You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Well, I'm sorry I can't be with you live tonight, but we've got three recent pre-records. What we're going to play, why we clean up our mess here. I will be back live with you on July the 9th with just a super show. I'm going to introduce you to a new author. Oh boy, is he great. You're not going to want to miss that show. Anyway, you will enjoy this show. Trust me, it'll be the same as if I was here doing a live interview. It is me interviewing three quality guests. So settle in, enjoy yourself. Before we get started, I want to remind you that we're brought to you by the very best storable food company on the entire planet. As you know, Mike Adams did a study of Numana Foods and found that Numana is better in every single category than any other storable food company. Why do you need storable food? Look at the lack of stability in the world today and tell yourself that everything's just going to remain just the way that it is, with the debt the way that it is, the deep state being exposed for pedophilia, their desire to create a false flag that'll cause huge disruptions, the condition of the Oroville Dam, Fukushima overtaking the country, the revelation that lifespans in the Gulf are being shortened because of their poisoned food, air, and water. How many reasons do I have to give you? Go to numana.com/Hodges. Numana is N-U-M-A-N-N-A, numana.com/Hodges, and take 5% off with the coupon code HodgesNOV5 and get the peace of mind that comes knowing that you have prepared your family. We're also brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals, converting soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals, and you'll want to do that because when the bank's closed, your money will be gone. Forget the FDIC. They have 2% of the cash on hand they need to cover the losses. Call Steve Quayle tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. Enjoy the show. We'll see you in hour number two. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And on the newsmaker line with me is Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report that airs right here on Global Star Radio Network Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. For my money, it's the best radio show out there, and Joe is one half of that broadcast team, and we're lucky to have him with us. Joe, thanks for joining us, and as we look at where we're going as a country, we've been guided a lot by the ideology of the globalists, and then one in particular you want to single out today is Zbigniew Brzezinski. Let's start there with Brzezinski, Joe, and let's talk about why America should become familiar with what he advocated.
Well, Dave, it's great to be with you as always. And yeah, you know, many people, when looking at what's called the New World Order or the shadow government, come across a man who is basically at the foundation of a lot of these shadow government groups, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission. He was, Zbigniew Brzezinski, was the founder. He was an evil genius, if you want to use that term. He has been. He said things. You know, it's easier to kill a million people today than to control a million people, where in the past it was easier to control them rather than kill them. And he gets into conspiracy theories and really just very smart, very intelligent, and he had a great way of articulating and writing. But again, he was on the wrong side of things. And he wrote a number of great books that give insight into the mind of communism, of fascism, and capitalism, as well as all the other economic and political conditions. Basically, he breaks down governments in a very interesting way. And for people who have read his work, they know that, especially with communism and fascism, the mechanisms by which governments can control societies. And, you know, breaking this down, a big part is the ideology. You know, we have seen with the left, as of late, especially since Trump was elected, their true colors coming out. Bernie Sanders, he's a socialist who was running against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. We see a lot of this. The left has been pushing these socialist and these communist Marxist theories and ideology and trying to reshape the society we live in. And when I was doing some research yesterday into one of Brzezinski's, one of my favorite books that Brzezinski wrote, Totalitarian Dictatorship and Autocracy, one of the sections of his book, he gets into the totalitarian ideology. And he breaks it down into four categories: the nature of total ideology, historical roots of totalitarian ideology, the change and corruption of ideology, and the constitution, the law, and justice. Excuse me. And in doing this research, I found out some pretty incredible things that gives us a clear understanding as to the mindset and the motivations behind some of what we see coming from, you know, the left in this push for socialism and communism in this country. And it's pretty fascinating.
Well, it really is, and he is a guy I'm very familiar with. I read his book called Technotronic Era, Between Two Ages. Man, oh man, Joe, did he ever call the future. He wrote the book in 1970, and he foretold, essentially, without using the term, free trade agreements. He said how resource allocation and also profit, economic profit, would be moving from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere when we see the exportation of American and European jobs to cheaper labor markets. He was right on the money. And the thing is, he was 2.5 to 3 decades ahead of his time. It just goes to show you how far ahead the globalists actually plan to carry out their agenda.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at the shadow government, the New World Order, you know, we know the names of people like Soros and Rockefeller and, you know, J.P. Morgan. There's and many more, obviously. But Brzezinski, he's been at the core of not only being part of setting the agenda for these groups, but in establishing these groups. And, you know, when we get into the ideology of the left and what he points out, I started to dig into different definitions. And one thing I found interesting in looking at some of these definitions, when we break down things like what does totalitarianism mean, what is a dictatorship, what is a democracy versus a republic, and you know, I come across some interesting things, and this would be a great place to start this. But the one thing I found that was kind of interesting, the definition of democracy and republic is really not that different at all, except in one aspect. And the basic definition of both is that it's a government that the people have the power through voting for representatives. And the difference comes where in the definition of democracy, it states that it's a democratic government with the principles and policies of the Democratic Party, whereas the Republican side, it only says that it is governed according to the law of the land or the Constitution. So when we look at you know the Democrats, Republicans, democracy versus republic, we constantly hear, you know, we live in a democracy when we were established as a constitutional republic. And some people might not think this is important or even worth a mention, but I think we need to understand the, and we've talked about this before, but we need to understand the difference because what Brzezinski says, and I think this is really important, is how today's society is very similar in America. Today's society is very similar to a totalitarian dictatorship or an autocracy or a form of government that is controlled specifically by one leader or a small group of people. And that's the definition of autocracy is the authority or rule of an autocrat, a government in which one person possesses unlimited power with a community or state governed by autocracy. And what we see today, what Brzezinski argues, is with the technological advances we've seen in the 20th century, how the totalitarian form of government, whether it's fascism or communism or socialism, has adapted to the current way we do things, again, technologically, with all the advancements that we have scientifically. And what's really interesting, and we talk about this a lot, you know, about martial law, about the police state, and when I came across some things that Brzezinski wrote in his book, it just reinforced that argument that we live basically in a police state under soft martial law. And I know that's, you know, I had to read through some of this stuff 2-3 times yesterday, and Americans really don't want to hear it, but in reality, we are a society that just about everything is under control. I mean, you can't drive without getting a license, you can't, you know, without getting insurance, you can't operate a business without, you know, getting permits and all that stuff. I mean, everything we do is governed and controlled. And this is, you know, at the heart of the totalitarian rule. And it's very interesting when we look at how the methods that have been deployed by these totalitarian systems of government in historically and even to today, it's not that different. I mean, just a change of a few policies here, you know, that could have been done at the, like we saw with 9/11, the reaction to 9/11 with the Patriot Act. You know, we're one disaster away, potentially, from becoming, you know, no different than a communist or fascist form of government.
I
but
think
we already are there.
Joe, we're already there. I mean, I think there's no question. America has already crossed that threshold. One of the things, since we're comparing Brzezinski books here, as an aside, he said something that has stuck with me through the ages, and it's this. He said when a country, a civilization, transitions from one mode of living to another, they go through a generation of hell. And he used as an example, and he's so right, he said, look at what happened when we went from being an agricultural rural country, and by the 1880s we were in the throes of urbanization, mass production, in an industrial society. And he said, look at what the workers went through. Look at the political upheaval to keep the existing political regime went through to basically keep control of the people. And he said, and the government became more authoritarian. And he's so right. And he said,
yeah,
he predicted this. In 1970, he said, we will transition from an industrial society to what, he didn't use this term, but this is what we say today, that we're in the information age or post-industrial. And he said, the people will go through hell. And this is what we're going through. And when we talk about, you mentioned it, Joe, FEMA camps. FEMA camps will be a method when the deep state finally emerges in all its glory and they come out from the shadows, the secret government, and they are the ruling authority. They will eliminate all political dissent. And people say, oh, there's no such thing as FEMA camps. Well, they're going to find out the hard way that millions, tens of millions of Americans are going to go to FEMA camps. And Joe, just one more thing, and I want to get your reaction to this. Simon Properties and every major league sports league, for their facilities, their shopping centers controlled by Simon Properties, have all signed an agreement to convert their facilities to the government for use during times of national emergency. And you've seen how I've detailed in the shopping malls, they're building them now with guard towers, or they're retrofitting them. They're getting ready for the rollout of full-blown tyranny and the gulags.
Yeah, you know, we've seen a number of curious things where it comes to Walmarts or sports stadiums, or even a lot of the governments or Department of Homeland Security's resources that we see, you know, moved around the country, where basically mobile staging grounds for prisons can be set up at a moment's notice. And we've seen, you know, the things with the Walmarts over the past few years. And no, you're absolutely right, whether it's for the stated purposes of, you know, potential disaster housing or whatever the stated purpose is, it can be used alternatively for, you know, a worst-case scenario, like you said, a FEMA camp, you know, political prison, or worse, you know, basically a concentration camp. And that potential is always there. Now, if we can jump back a little bit, Dave, the reason I gave out the definitions of the democracy and republic, I found my place in my notes here, is to go over a little bit of this. Now, in Brzezinski's book, where it talks about the totalitarian rule of today, there is an author by the name of, Hans Beckham, or Buchmann. His book is Totalitarian Rule, Characteristics and Characteristics. He writes that he has a theory that holds the essence of totalitarianism in such it is a regime's total control of everyday life of its citizens, of its control more particularly of their thoughts and attitudes as well as their activities. And he goes on to say the particular way of totalitarian rule is like a creeping rape of man by the perversion of his thoughts and his social life. And he goes on to say totalitarian rule is the claim transformed into political action that the world and social life are changeable without limit. Now, back to the definition of democracy versus republic, we know democracy is basically mob rule or majority rule. But in the definition, it states that it's a democratic government with the principles and policies of the Democratic Party versus the Republican Party, which it states in the definition that it is to govern according to the law. Now, the reason that's important is because with the political divide we see in the country today, the progressive left or the more left-leaning Democrats are not even, we shouldn't even call them Democrats anymore. They have moved into the category of fascism or communism or any type of totalitarian rule. And what's interesting is how similar the motivations and ideology and the goals of the old fascist and communist Nazis and communist systems, how they have employed basically every tactic and the goals are the same. It's really very interesting. What the book also goes on to talk about is how the modern technological devices have been resuscitated for the use to totally control the ideologically motivated movement dedicated to the total destruction and reconstruction of a mass society. Brzezinski goes on to say that the totalitarian dictatorship emerges as a system of rule for realizing totalist intentions under modern political and technical conditions. And he says that it is the declared intention is to create a new man, a new person, or a new mindset in the person. And it's very troubling to see how the left has moved to such an extreme position. You know, we talk about total control and to destruct and reconstruct a society to form a new man. This is what the goals are. You can't have a new world order without a new mindset from the citizens, especially citizens who are used to living in a semi-free country, protected by a set of laws and founding principles that made this country great. They are absolutely trying to destroy that from the foundation. And
but Joe, on
it would
that
make
point,
us no different from any government in history.
On that point, I don't think that Brzezinski can claim credit. I think he's adopting something. Wasn't it in the 1920s that the Tavistock Institute emerged and their entire existence was predicated upon psyops and molding public opinion through repetition, like what we call in psychology confirmation bias, creating cognitive dissonance based on a human's desire to have predictability in their life? In other words, they could use all these brainwashing techniques to try to mold public opinion, and Brzezinski seems to be borrowing from that particular practice.
Well, absolutely, and he goes on to cite, Karl Marx and Engels and Hitler and some of the a number of the political authors from these different systems of government. And when we look at the weapons that are used against us to try to bring those goals of total control and brainwashing to realization, it really is incredible how they have been so effective in their ability to at least get, I'd say, 30% of the population to believe this this extreme form of governing that they want to implement, this more communist type system or totalitarian type system, this police state.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. The hive mentality, Joe. You're exactly right.
It's ideology is part of it. The propaganda of mass communications is part of it. Terror is part of it. The secret governments, all these play a huge role. And when we look back, Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. These people not only create the crises, but then they exploit every crisis, whether it's a natural disaster to a terror attack, to a healthcare law. We see it every day. They exploit this for the purposes of propaganda and for a number of other reasons. And the main, mainstream media, the hardline political types who are in D.C., they see that there is this rift in the country right now, that people have stepped out of have managed to become awake or get out of the, believing everything you hear on the news, searching for, the alternative media for the truth. And this has them concerned. And in reading Brzezinski's book, it's quite clear that these forms of government that we see the leaders of this alt-left movement, the next steps are going to be some type of violence or a crisis. They're going to create these crises, whether they're like the fake hate crimes we see. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but since Trump was elected, there have been so many reports of different types of racist and other types of hate crimes that have turned out to be hoaxes. A good example is, remember the synagogues or the Jewish cemeteries that were being vandalized in Philadelphia? Or the African American church that had graffiti sprayed on it a few times, and there's a whole number of these other false hate crimes that have become exposed for hoaxes. They continue to push the Russia narrative in this idea that Trump's under investigation and some kind of criminal in the mainstream media every single day. We have this ramping up of everybody's a racist or a hater, because they don't wholeheartedly agree with everything the other side says. And it's not working. We see this with the special elections. We see this with, you know, the majority of the country and their attitude and what they seem to care about. So the next step is going to have to, they're going to have to up the ante, whether it's political violence in the streets or a more, you know, like the Weather Underground, the people who bombed the Pentagon.
Well, Joe, I think that what we're looking at here, too, is a time immediacy emergency problem for the deep state. And Brzezinski's plan has hit the skids, and they need to get it off the tracks and get it going. And here's what I'm talking about specifically. Fox News was going down the path of going to be CNN 2.0. They took a dramatic change, and you notice now they're jumping into the Trump camp quite often and pro-right-wing views, and their numbers have skyrocketed. Now, the next step on this would be the American people develop this, and Karl Marx talks about this, and so does Brzezinski, a collective consciousness where most of America begins to identify itself as the abused majority by the elite few. And this leads to, gee, we need to have a revolution. And I don't think necessarily we're talking about guns in the street at this moment, but I think what we're talking about here from the right is the fact that what we used to consider to be impossible because of mass ignorance could become probable. And that is the eradication of Congress and throwing out most, if not all, of the incumbents in November of 2018. And Joe, I'm going to submit to you that they see it coming on the left. And they are not going to allow this election to occur with the current growing political climate. They have to stop it before Congress gets thrown out. Because if they get independent thinking people in Congress in November of 2018, the deep state is in deep trouble.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the few things that I've been concerned about with the witnessing the craziness that we've seen in the political world is the possibility of, say, the next presidential election, we get somebody in there who is, you know, of this, the Hillary Clinton and the Obama mindset, with the type of attitude that we see from a lot of the protesters, the Antifa. There would be the potential, at least in my opinion, from studying history, for that leader to kind of go a little bit rogue. You know, we could see a type of Hitler scenario. It's obvious that the Democrats at this point, or the left, is threatened by even, I mean, they basically have, it's part of their ideology that a Republican in office is a danger to this country, somehow. And that's the, I mean, they believe this. So, my mind and history shows also that, you know, they're, and they have been trying to do this, they have not even processed or given up the idea that Hillary has lost the election. And they've been trying to, for whatever reason, I mean, uproot Trump's presidency, even though in doing so, it would just put another Republican into office. I guess they seem to have this idea that if they can't get, you know, a person they want to be the president in right now, then they just want to burn it down until they regain power. And I believe it's a possibility, and I know we've said this before, if and when they do regain power with the right leader, they might not give it up. I mean, I know we're speculating a lot now, but just based on historical governments that have gone through these crisis periods, and from what a number of political and academic people have pointed out, it's a very real possibility. So I think we need to kind of understand or think about how we can kind of bridge whatever gaps we have, if possible, to the extent that could minimize that potential. But yeah, we're on a bad path and a dangerous one at that.
I think there's no question. But see, I think now we have a timetable, Joe, because I think that November of 2018 midterm election is critically important to them. And I don't think they're going to reach, and I think they know this too, They can put as many disenfranchised youth in the street as they want. They can brainwash 20 to 30% of the country, but I don't think they can change elections unless they can outwardly control them. Remember Joseph Stalin said, I care not, you know, who you vote for, I care who counts the votes. And yeah. Unless they can do that, they are in deep trouble as far as getting consent of the governed. So, Joe, that goes back to what, and I know Larry Grathwall is very familiar to you and your father, as he was to me. Larry Grathwall was told by the man who put Obama into politics, you know who I'm talking about, Bill Ayers of the Weatherman Underground. Yeah. He told Larry, when Larry asked him, he said, well, how will this all end? And he said that Ayers hesitated for a minute and says, well, you know, we're going to have to put 50 million Americans, by the way, this is 1968 numbers, we're going to have to put 50 million Americans into basically what he described as FEMA camps. He called them re-education camps. And he said, we'll have to do away with, meaning murder, 25 million of them. And those numbers would be much larger today. Joe, this is where we're headed. People don't want to hear this. They say, oh, you're an alarmist. It's clickbait when you write an article, blah, blah, blah. But you know what, Joe? This has been foretold now for 50 years.
Not only that, I mean, if you just look through history, through governments throughout history, and you look at the outcomes, I think the leading cause of death in the 20th century was what's called democide, death by government. And I want to make sure I state something here. You know, you talked about the midterm elections, I think it's important that we understand it's not just a democratic or left ideology that is crazy. You know, we see a lot of these Republican politicians who are not supporting Trump, who have been never Trumpers, or you know, just refuse to work with them, or even you know, you don't hear anything about a lot of these Republicans. And we need to understand that the Republicans, many of them, are just as much of a problem as the Democrats and the progressives. So in the 2018 election, we have to make sure that you know we're not just voting for Republicans to keep power away from the other side. We need to find the proper candidates on either side of the aisle that will stand up for the law, the Constitution. But you know, it's very hard in today's day and age with all the corruption in every political office in the country to make sure that we you know can even figure it out with what information we have available to us by the time the election comes around. And I said all that to say that it is our whole political system, the Democrats versus the Republicans, 98% of the politicians, and then the you know the shadow governments and the Brzezinskis and Rockefellers, the ruling class, the elite class, these people are very closer than ever before to realizing their agenda of total control. And this is, you know, if you want to call it a game, it's the highest stakes game there is, you know, aside from faith. And these people are not going to, as you said, they're not going to give up. They're not going to give in. So we need to understand that the calculations that these people put into everything, from what the news says to who should be, you know, in what office, to the influence that they hold, everything is a weapon with these people. Everything is used against us as a form of manipulation and control. And this is seems to be intensifying. And this is some of the aspects of these other forms of government that we've been talking about that align perfectly. And it's not, you know, it's not a far leap to end up in a full-blown Nazi or communist-type state from where we are today, as I said earlier. Maybe one, you know, the right crisis, another economic crisis, a terrible terrorist attack. It could be all it takes. We are very close, but it's not a lost cause. We also have to understand that. This is why it's so important that people pay attention, do research into history, understand the trends.
People won't, Joe.
No, they won't.
No, I mean, we're talking maybe 10% of the listening audience right now would do something like that. Because, first of all, Americans are kept busy just trying to maintain their standard of living. how many people have two and three jobs. And then there's the regular demands of living. People don't have the time to do this. I'm not disparaging America, but they won't go do it. So what they do is they take shortcuts. And Joe, I hate to say it this way, but the Hagman and Hagman Report and the Common Sense Show are shortcuts. People come here to get a synopsis of what we're saying that people should do their own research on. And that's not bad, but they better hope that we're telling the truth, because a lot of people are putting faith in us that is pretty remarkable. You know, and also I'm going to submit to you two things here, and I'd like your reaction to the second one. The first one is this, and it's almost a comment of irony. Bernie and Jane Sanders were married in Moscow.
Okay.
I've always chuckled at that. Yeah, Trevor Loudon, and this leads into my second point. Trevor Loudon exposed this in his documentary, and I'm chuckling. It's just because it's so out there and in your face. Now, what Trevor Loudon did, and I have espoused his work, I think this work is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. When he wrote Enemies Within, then did a video documentary, and I went on Amazon, I believe it was Amazon Prime, and actually rented it. You can rent it for $5 for 5 days. And I took the thing apart. He said exactly what Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman, and also former Congressman West, they all said the same thing, that most of the Democratic Party is aligned with the Communist Party and or the Muslim Brotherhood. And they went through, Trevor went through in his documentary, and he detailed congressman after congressman after congressman, from Al Franken to Elizabeth Warren to Boxer to Pelosi, that they all are aligned with front groups for the American Communist Party or the Muslim Brotherhood. Joe, what do you think about that? Joe, are you there?
Oh, sorry, Dave. I had my mute button on. No, that's pretty interesting. You know, the one thing about Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood or any groups associated with Islam is we have to understand that it calls itself a religion, but it is a political force more than anything. And well, when we're talking about the totalitarian types of government and political systems, Islam, both whether it's a religion or a political organization, it encompasses everything else that these other systems of government does, as far as the total control of your life, of your social life, of everything that we see. It is a totalitarian system of government, and we need to understand that there's a reason there is a type of incestuous relationship between Islam and the progressive left, and even some on the right in this country. It is very troubling to see these two groups come together, and people need to understand what is at the root of that of these types of unions. And one thing that's that we are living through now, that when Brzezinski's writing about in his book, he states that this was absent from America previously in the 50s when he wrote this, but is the part of the ideology that calls for revolution and political violence. That's here in this country right now. We've seen a number of recent stories from Kathy Griffin to Johnny Depp to rappers and entertainers all throughout Hollywood that are, you know, joking about killing the president or blowing up the White House. And we have seen, stunningly, the media and their spin to demonize the victims. It's one thing that's very crazy and interesting at the same time to me is the ability for these people to talk out of both sides of their mouth, to be completely hypocritical. I don't know where I read this or heard this, but there was a phrase that said, if it wasn't for double standards, the Democrats wouldn't have any standards at all. And their amazing ability to seem to get away with it. But all of this is part of the propaganda, part of the attempt to change the reality and to change our society. And when you talk about the Tavistock Institute, their goals are, it's amazing how all these different organizations and forms of government have the same goals, whether it's the Tavistock Institute or communism, or pick any type of oppressive authority. They all have the same goals. This is the ideology of the New World Order. And, it's very troubling to see the ideological unity between these different, from Islam to the left. But will this and has this been shaping behavior? That's the question that we need to ask. And I say, yes, it does. We see the different calls for universal incomes and universal health care, this push towards socialism. We see what's going on in Venezuela. And again, back what you said about people not doing the research, I think it would be wise for everybody to take 20 minutes, sit down, and just look at the governments of the 20th century. As we talked about earlier, the democide, I think it's the number one cause of death in the 20th century was death by government, whether it was communist China, communist Russia, or fascist Germany, and understand the cycles that happened throughout history, and all throughout history. Every single government that's been established has collapsed. And the ones that have not collapsed are the ones that are still functioning today in the countries. But eventually they will collapse as a rule of nature is that from Rome to Babylon, all of the most elite and top societies of their time were all, destroyed in ruins from war and economic collapse. And if you understand that that's the cycle of these governments, and that at the end cycle of these governments, whatever gets you there, that war and death and genocide are always a part of it. And I want people to understand what makes you think that this country is any different or will be any different or have a different outcome from any other of the top governments throughout history. So if people would do a minimal amount of research into what happens when governments collapse, and look through examples of throughout history of when the governments have collapsed, what has happened, I think that would be a good starting point.
I agree, Joe. I want to reference something that you just mentioned about democide. The University of Hawaii, mainstream university, liberal as heck, actually did something called the Democide Project, and that's spelled DEMICIDE. And if you put that into a search engine, the Democide Project, University of Hawaii, you'll see the breakdowns. They compare the death by combat and wars to the death by government, and what they find repeatedly is that they are the death by government far outshadows, as you said, death by war. And it's a 20th century figure. And so government is the enemy of the people. And see, our founding fathers understood this. They completely understood this. And so as a consequence, we need to pay attention to our history. You see, wasn't it Thomas Jefferson that said that we need the Second Amendment not to defend against the French or the British, who were the enemies of the day, but to defend against our own government?
I know that many of the founding fathers had quotes like that, and it is, in the Constitution, it is in the Bill of Rights, and many people, both the founders and throughout history, have stated the importance of the Second Amendment and the reasons of the Second Amendment, and they are, as you said, not primarily for the purposes of defending against an invasion, but against the potential oppression that our own government can, and as they expect, bring on its citizens. And that's something that many people don't want to ever acknowledge. You know, I just saw on The View, I think it was Whoopi Goldberg on The View last week. I do a lot of media analysis. And she was making the argument that many people do to try to justify their rationalization for banning the Second Amendment is by saying that it's not applicable to citizens, only to a militia or the army or police. You know, that's one of the big arguments there.
Well, see, that's the communist argument, Joe.
Yeah.
Unless we officially sanction you for the government, you don't have a license to do this. You can't do it. That's communist.
No, absolutely. And back to Brzezinski's book real quick, he asked the question, is it not social democracy and communism and fascism all from the same intellectual roots? Then he states this. He says, when theory is applied to a real-life situation, there are usually only two alternatives. One is to modify theory as to make it more compatible with the prerequisites of practice, and the other is an attempt to force reality to fit the theory. And he says all these systems of government, the totalitarians, by their almost complete rejection of the status quo, are inclined to attempt to force history to fit their conception of it. And he goes on, you know, into much greater detail. But that's what we see today. And whether it's the call to get rid of, you know, parts of our Bill of Rights and our Constitution, whether it's the Second Amendment or the First Amendment, it's just, you know, you can spot it. That's one of the indicators that you're talking with somebody who has adapted, you know, the communist or totalitarian, which you can just call them all, a totalitarian system of ideology. And that's dangerous, and that goes back to what we were talking about with propaganda. That shows to some extent that some people, a nice percentage of the people, have been indoctrinated into this totalitarian ideology. And then that's why you have to ask the question, does the ideology shape behavior? Because if it does, then you know, we're only at the very beginning stages of this divide in this craziness that we're seeing in our country.
Well, you know, you're more learned than President Trump. And I'm not trying to disparage Trump, because he did buy us 4 years of time from total totalitarianism by blocking the election of Hillary Clinton. But Joe, you're much more enlightened than Trump, because see, if you had Twitter or some segment of the media like Fox News at your behest, you could go on either one of these communication systems and tell what you just told and just make it simple and just say, hey, listen, black people, I haven't done anything to you. Gay people, I haven't done anything to you. Please show me concretely what I've done. What this is divide and conquer. And see, the real shadowy government, the deep state, is trying to keep us disunified so we can't unify against them and their criminal ways. And we need to be uniting. See, Joe, this is what you're saying, in effect. And somebody in that administration needs to get before a camera and tell the American people, this isn't about black versus white or immigrant versus citizen or gay versus straight. It's not any of this. It's all about keeping us from being unified. And once America could cross that threshold, the deep state, I probably think they'd probably start World War III, but they'd be on their way out as a shadow government.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is pretty much the whole reason for all the theatrics and craziness we see in our society, is because of the divide and conquer. The most dangerous thing to these, to the ruling class, to the elites, to the New World Order, is a unified populace against them. And that's the biggest threat that they face, aside from the spiritual authority of God and what he decides to do. But, you know, if we would be able to... but see, that's the problem. The indoctrination has worked so well that now, you know, maybe a quarter of the population, at least for right now, there is no rationalization, there's no reasoning. There is no conversion, or they are I don't know what it would take to snap them out of that thought process. But those who aren't completely indoctrinated, if we put aside all the smaller differences and would come together and agree to work towards the goal of, you know, re-liberating this country and its people through the established laws of the Constitution and the foundations that the country was established by, that would change everything.
You know, it's funny. I've reached out to black people I know who aren't in my daily life. I've reached out to other people of color and backgrounds and to gay people who I've known, worked with, and so forth. And I've given them this message. And I would say about a third of them have said, you know, Dave, I hadn't thought about it that way. I think you're right. And the other two thirds were confused. In other words, they got to process it. And Joe, this should be our mission, I think, in part. And the listening audience is always writing to me and saying, well, Dave, what can we do? You need to reach out to people who are different than you and have different views and talk about the importance of unification and who the real enemy is. Joe, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your dad's book, as we mentioned it on every show, because it's a good read, and I think people would benefit from having your dad's book. So, you know, in about 30 seconds or less, tell the listening audience what the book is about and how they can get a copy.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. The book is Stained by Blood. It's a murder investigation based on a true story that is based on my father's role in investigating the homicide and murder of his uncle. After the police were unable to solve it, he began his investigation, and you'll have to buy the book to find out what happens, but it's a fantastic story about a cold case and the trail that this case led him on, not only about the murder, but it gets into some deeper areas of darkness, spiritual darkness.
Exactly. Joe, and how do we get a copy?
Fascinating read.
How do we get a copy of this?
Stainedbyblood.com, or go to Stainedbyblood. You can find it on Amazon, or go to Hagman Report, and at the bottom of the page on HagmanReport.com, there is a link right there.
And we have one on the Common Sense Show as well. Joe, always a pleasure to have you on. This was an intellectual debate, in a debate in terms of opposing ideas. You and I are on the same page on this one, my friend, but in terms of opposing ideologies, I think the people need to see, really, that there are distinct philosophies at work here, and you have to make a choice, or a choice is forced upon you. Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report, which airs every week from Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Best radio show out there. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's been a lot of fun.